Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 61 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and this week we're going to cover the nerd topics, starting with some entertainment news surrounding the delay of the Kenobi show on Disney+. Some of my quick thoughts on the Age of AI documentary series on YouTube, some Google Stadia news, as well as us looking forward to a future theme park based around Super Mario World. And then we move into the tech news and we cover the hacking of Jeff Bezos. We're going to talk about the coronavirus and how tech has affected both the detection of this as well as the block of information. London has begun using facial recognition software and the Space Force gets a brand new logo. All that covered this week. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
Welcome back, nerds, to episode 61 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And
well, this week kind of starts off with another passing of a high-profile nerd this week. As many people, I'm sure, have heard by now, Kobe Bryant passed. He was not just an avid basketball player, but he did. He was a world traveler. He grew up in Italy, lived in Japan for a little bit. He was a huge anime fan, huge supporter of the sciences and businesses. So the world lost another major nerd in our community this week, and we just want to send out our condolences to his family and all those others affected in the crash. Tough times, man. It's been some tough times over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's, you know, I think he's 41 years old. So it's definitely passed too soon. This is one of those instances that you got to kind of be a little ashamed to be a part of the internet with everything that happened if you weren't paying attention. Yesterday when he passed, the initial reports came out like minutes after the crash before any information was out there. But it's a race to be the person to announce it. TMZ announced it before the police had responded, before any medical teams even responded to the scene. You know, his daughter, his 13-year-old daughter was on there. So, you know, his daughter, you know, the mother finds out from TMZ and everybody's finding out about this before anything's confirmed just because of this need to race to publish information.
Yeah. And you think about not even just Kobe's family, but the families of the other members.
Yeah, there's nine people that.
Well, and they were on their way to a basketball tournament. So kids and coaches were waiting on them. And then I'm sure phones started going off with alerts of Kobe's passing and they could put two and two together and know that these other little girls and their parents were on the helicopter with him. So now all they all found out their teammates and everything had passed. It's a horrible situation. Not to mention just the disgusting people that are sharing just some horrid memes and poor taste jokes all over the internet right now. If politics wasn't a sign of who you should cut out of your life, you got another one this weekend. It was really easy to hit the unfriend button for me last night.
Yeah. So it's definitely sad. And I don't know. Well, I guess we can move forward from this before we get too deep into dark topic there. And I guess we can could just quickly, you know, talk about, hey, you know, we're still deep into award seasons at the time of us recording this. You know, yesterday was the Grammys.
Yep.
This coming weekend is Super Bowl, and the following weekend is the Oscars, and we've got a show planned to give our thoughts and predictions coming into the Oscars.
Yeah, we're gonna have another guest host, our friend Sean Mullen, who's a Cantina member and an avid moviegoer. We often have some public and private movie talks. He's gonna come on the show, and we're gonna do our Oscar kind of predictions, snubs, winners, all that, and kind of lay it out for you, and we'll see if we had some good predictions. We're going to get that episode out the Friday before the Oscars, so you guys can listen to that, make your own predictions, and we'll come back on the news that next Monday and see if we Nerdstradamus that thing at all.
All right, but then moving into current week news. So first topic that we have up is that the Kenobi show, you know, with Ewan McGregor following Obi-Wan Kenobi between movies 3 and 4, the filming has been delayed. So the film crew was sent home. They were supposed to begin production. Film crew was sent home, and so much speculation immediately flew about this.
You know, there's so many working cogs in these things that you automatically assume the worst. I mean, Ewan McGregor, because he's on his promotional tour for Birds of Prey. He even came out and said, look, it doesn't have to do with creative differences. It's not a big deal. You know, we're just pushing the start date of the production back. He says he still loves the scripts that he's got. Everybody's still on board. You know, he's trying to calm everybody down. But I mean, well, I work in construction, and things happen that you can't expect that push timetables back all the time. You know, I can only imagine when you got 1,000 employees and everything having to line up at once, the smallest little, you know, someone's got a flu or someone, you know, like shipping dates got messed up. There's all kinds of things. You can't go right to, oh, it's all going to burn.
Yeah. I mean, the initial reports, were, you know, people were calling for like Kathleen Kennedy's head because she supposedly had read the scripts and then like sent it back for major reworks and just said, you know, this is completely unacceptable. And to go, and I mean, you could ask for Kathleen Kennedy's head for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I was going to say you can throw her on the fire anytime you want, but not for this yet.
Supposedly that was a part of the initial response, that it was just purely based off of, hey, the scripts were complete garbage and the show needed to be completely reworked. From Ewan McGregor's comments, it does sound like the scripts are being reworked to some degree. He even made a mention in the articles that were quoting him, where he talked about, since the release of Episode 9, they'd seen things in the movie of Episode 9. The scripts were written before the complete release of that. They've now taken a look at kind of retooling some of the things based off of the movie release.
Yeah, you figure they're going to retcon the show to try to make Episode 9 better, so you buy the Blu-ray or stream it or whatever, because that pile of dung is not going to get any better on its own.
So I am wondering, like, you know, this movie is set between 3 and 4. So what happened in Episode 9 that is making them want to rework it? And what it probably is, all right, we gotta go find us some Palpatine.
They're gonna sprinkle in some Palpatine like Salt Bay. They're gonna give us some force healing maybe in there now. Yeah. to make that original canon. What else are they gonna do? They're gonna maybe have him force connect with Yoda, like Rey and fucking Kylo.
Yeah, the two of them, you just know, hanging out, chilling, yeah, talking, just talking hanging to each out, other.
Chilling, you know, handing each other frogs. You know, let's fix all this shit with Kenobi and ruin a possibly good TV show because we don't know how to fucking focus group anything.
Yeah, so I'm curious, but the production is delayed, but the release schedule has not been delayed, at least as of yet. I wouldn't be surprised if a month or two
Just work the grips extra hard, you know? It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Hey, all you guys that sent home, you got 18-hour days in your future. Fuck them.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's the grips that would suffer that. It would be more the editing production team that's going to have to crunch, and, you know, there's going to be CGI. There's going to be things that they're going to have to work into that post-production that they're going to have to do in a shorter timeline now.
Oh, yeah. Well, and so I'm trying to think of how many years, like, are we going to get the birth of a baby Yoda now because they're just going to try to capitalize on everything. You know, baby Yoda's 50 something years old. Does that fall in that timeline? I'm wondering.
Like, yeah, it's
I'm just, right? Like, I mean, yeah, like, I don't know.
No,
I don't know, like, I would say it would be longer than 50.
No, yeah, it would be long. Yeah, it would be longer than 50.
I'd say Mandalorians, like 75. Yeah, I would say 75 to 90. Like, I don't know, but either way, like, I hope they don't just try to cap, you know, like, do everything that's new in Star Wars and make it see like, oh, see, it was old though. It was around then. No, this show is after. Like, let's timelines of the movies don't line up. Like, let's keep it real. I just hope they don't jump the shark with this because they're trying to do too much and Kathleen Kennedy don't know shit.
Well, I mean, that's... I don't know. I think the show still has promise, but yeah, you got to lose a little faith in kind of the continuity of the stories that that happens over in Star Wars land. So...
Yeah, and just for everybody listening with their SJW hats on, we don't hate Kathleen Kennedy because of her gender. She is a moron despite with or without having a penis. She has no foresight, and that's equality.
All right, well, with that disclaimer out there, let's move on to something that I want more people to watch. Solely because I've watched it and I find it fascinating, but I don't have anybody to talk to because I don't know anybody else who's actually watched the Age of AI documentary on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm so busy catching up on shows and movies for the group and the website and the podcast that, like, I'm leaving this AI stuff up to you. You can drop some knowledge on me when we come to the show.
And this is why I don't watch any of the movies or TV shows, because whatever time I do have, I just watch documentaries. The Age of AI, it's narrated by Robert Downey Jr., extremely well done, pretty kind of fascinating in a lot of the tech they're showing. Like, if you watch it and you have any question about the fact that, like, man, 50% of all jobs gone, 10 to 15 years, like, there's no way. You look at the level, the intrusiveness of AI technology into just things that you just wouldn't.
I want to insert that, like, SpongeBob meme with all the capital and lowercase letters in it and just be like, but new jobs will form right after. Like, no, they won't. Like, I mean, it's going to be fucking computers and robots in the future, folks.
There's going to be some new jobs. I just don't think it's a one-for-one trade-off or even close.
not even close. Not even.
But, man, you look at them, you know, some of the stuff that they break it down. All the episodes are completely broken down into kind of the industries. So, you know, there's an episode all about the health industry and how it's drastically changing the health industry, especially in like more rural areas across the world where they don't have access to a doctor, but an AI doctor that could just take scanned images and give immediate feedback, take blood results and lab results and give immediate feedback instead of these people traveling, essentially, you know, doing 2-day trips to get to the local hospital to maybe see a doctor, is drastically changing, like, health outcomes in that regard.
Well, yeah, and it's gonna revolutionize the medical industry in, like, third world countries. You know, like, you get a crazy virus in Uganda. Like, man, have fun trekking through the Sahara trying to get to a doctor there. You know, if you just have small medical stations with a few laboratory equipment but internet access, the whole world has been opened up to you.
Yeah, and yeah, so they were showing a bunch of just, again, we've talked about it in the past, that also, you know, AI can just do a better job than doctors, even in first world countries. They could do a better job as radiologist techs, as scanning eye images to test for different, you know,
That's kind of what I love about the politics of this, because so you have these I wouldn't say anti-AI, but these AI kind of like deniers that say, oh, well, you know, for every time we've had an industrial revolution, new jobs have popped up. Like, this isn't the chainsaw replacing lumberjacks and we just still need a human to operate the chainsaw, but we just need less humans. No, like, your six-figure, seven-figure job is up for fucking grabs, too. It's not just the guy working at Walmart mopping floors. It's not just, well, you know.
And the funny, like, thing about the chainsaw example, right, is we celebrated John Henry for fighting against the chainsaw, right?
Yeah. Like, we have songs about John Henry and Johnny Appleseed. And
we celebrated John Henry going against the chainsaw. We celebrated, it was Paul Bunyan going against the chainsaw, right? It was John Henry going against railroad.
Railroads.
Machines laying railroad. And it's like, we celebrated the fight against technology in order to preserve human jobs, right? And then today it's kind of like, no, we don't want to hear any of that. Just, you guys go learn to code, you go do something else. We're getting rid of your jobs, go somewhere else. And I think that actually is the right answer. I'm not looking to preserve people's jobs and stunt the growth of AI. It's just, man, just know the shit's coming.
yeah, we need to preserve quality of life as these things come by. The advancement of technology in our industries should be giving humans the freedom and the wherewithal to pursue other endeavors that are more fruitful to human advancement or to quality of life. You know, if you don't have to work 40 hours anymore to get the same production, the CEOs and the heads of these companies shouldn't be the only ones reaping these benefits. It should be society as a whole.
But they have an entire episode, episode 6 of this documentary series called "Will a Robot Take My Job?" And like I said, it the answer it shows is yes.
The answer is yes.
It goes pretty in depth into like, you know, how close automated trucks are. It shows like an entire shipyard, you know, where they're just stacking containers on top of containers coming from the ships, and the only human run part of that really is the crane operator from the ship onto the shore. And then once it's onto the shore, it's 100% robots. It's autonomous trucks.
And that
trucks,
crane operator can go like, yeah, that crane operator ain't safe.
It's probably just people not wanting their $1 billion ship destroyed by a robot. So they want a human doing that. But then once it's on the ground, every other crane, every other thing is 100% autonomous. And it's, again, you look at hundreds of jobs were replaced there. And it's now just a couple supervisors.
Even to defend the robot in that scenario, the crane operator on OxyContins isn't going to save your billion-dollar ship either.
Yeah,
you know, there's always plenty of room for human error in any situation.
Yeah, true. That'll probably be a problem in the future as well. But they also showed a lot of other like really interesting prosthetics that are happening for amputees and you know, actual AI that's able to map brain inputs to actually have like mobile, you can close all five fingers of a prosthetic hand, and really like interesting stuff in that regard. And then they talk about like that same technology is what's going to be used to create exoskeletons and to not only make prosthetics for people who've lost limbs, but to just enhance our natural limbs and enhance our natural body. All of that's coming.
Yeah, I laugh at people that say, you know, when the robots and AI take our jobs, just new jobs will form. And I try to ask them, like, what new jobs? What new job is going to pop up that only a human can do and that AI and a robot isn't going to figure out how to just, like, bypass us in that? And they, well, I can't say that now. That's just something the future is going to have to uphold. No one knew the new jobs that were going to happen in the first industrial revolution. But look, we made it through. And it was like, yeah, but the population of the world was 10 times smaller. Like, so there wasn't 7 billion people that we needed to find resources and jobs for. It was a lot smaller then. And technology was like the dawn of technology. So it was like just the tip of the iceberg of what technology could eliminate.
Yeah,
we are now at the peak of what technology can eliminate.
Yeah, and if you look at like the previous industrial revolution, a lot of jobs were lost, say, on like the manufacturing floor, but you gained a ton of jobs on the supply chain, right? Because increased production on the manufacturing floors and increased production in those areas created significant more demand, significant more supply. They were creating more products, which created more storefronts, more shipping, more downstream jobs in the supply chain. Nowadays, those downstream jobs are also automated away. Amazon is automating away the downstream shipping, the downstream, the merchandising, the actual storefronts, the even the call centers to receive the orders, even the websites that are being managed fully by AI, and they're not web developers anymore. The downstream jobs that would normally get created by industrialization are also more efficiently managed by AI. By automation of some sort, whether it's AI or just general automation.
And that's what I mean, is AI becomes vastly more intelligent than humans, and as robots are able to do everything that a human can do, what the fuck is going to, like, what's going to be left? Like, I just don't understand what people think are going to be left. The minute they get robots down with, like, our level of finger dexterity, we're all fucked. We're all fucked. Like, that's the only thing saving my job right now is that there's not a robot that could take that tiny ass screw and screw it underneath a kitchen cabinet.
Like, well, and the documentary covers pretty well that we're so far away from that. Like, we're so far away from having robots that can handle non-routine things, that can can actually, you know, manipulate a really changing environment with some great dexterity and stuff like that. We're very far from that. But there's a whole lot of specialized robots.
What's crazy is that some of the most safest jobs right now are the trades. The problem solving that I have to do at my job as an electrician, same thing with like plumbers and things like that. There's no AI that can fix that right now. And they say that, we're still a long way off from that. And like I said, the finger dexterity and the being able to go in an attic and do some of the things that I have to do and weave around, there's not a robot that's going to be able to do that for a long time. So actually it's pretty funny to me that an industry that is been growingly looked down on over the last few decades is probably going to be the safest one. So as all you radiologists and brain,
pharmacists,
neurologists, pharmacists, all the architects, as all you big ballin' ass motherfuckers look down on my job and robots come and steal yours, I'm going to be sitting at home with my own business, still raking in a weekly paycheck, and keep voting against UBI, guys. Love to see where this ends up for you.
Not necessarily an endorsement of UBI. I'm still not on the UBI train as a solution, but I mean, I'll take free money. But anyway, in case you were wondering, this is still the entertainment section, not the tech section. We were talking about the documentary that you should go watch for entertainment purposes. So we'll keep going on the entertainment part. And that's Super Mario World. We're looking at the Epic Universe. Some news coming out on that. And man, it looks spectacular.
Like, I cannot wait. Like, Star Wars, the Galaxy's Edge really set the tone for some excitement.
Before that. So the Harry Potter world at Universal was before Star Wars, and that's super immersive. Like, you are in Hogwarts. That is where you are when you walk through that place. So yeah, these really immersive lands that are incredibly well designed. We get a new one coming to Universal. The article shared said that it's being built right now, right? Looking for a release this year in Japan.
Yeah. 2023, they say Japan should open.
Okay, I thought it was the other way around. I thought the Japan one was already in construction, and 2023 is when they're bringing it to the U.S.
No, I thought the article stated that it was the Japan one broke ground, but they don't expect it to be fully functional until 2023. That's why we were saying that the one in California will probably be like a 2025, one in Florida maybe 26, 27.
Yeah.
Either way, 2020s. Super Mario World decade.
Somewhere,
it's gonna be dope.
Somewhere down the road, you are going to be able to drive a Mario Kart.
Yeah, I like Harry Potter, but I was never considered a pothead in that sense. I've long been one and the other. But Star Wars was like the first one that they came out that was like, really, man, we made this park for you. Fuck everybody else, Steve. We made this park for you. And now it's Super Mario World. Yeah, it's the same thing. I got a Goomba tattooed on my forearm with 8-bit lettering that says old school, established 1980. Like, that is my generation to be able to drive a Mario Kart and hopefully throw a soft shell at somebody while I'm doing it will be one of the most epic things in my life.
Yeah, and it definitely, I think there's definitely plans to have a go-kart track or some kind of, either, I don't know whether it's going to be like free driving or like on a track type driving,
put a laser tag, put a laser tag gun on there and like simulated balloons, 3 balloons on the back, and just let us go at it.
Yeah. I'm waiting for when they start showing like the actual like images, the actual architect drawings and the concept images in full. Not much to go off of here other than just some general excitement.
Oh, plumber tube slides. I could vision it right now. Like, it's so, like, I hope to God there's like, so you remember when you go to a carnival when you were a kid and they had that one trailer that was just like this Indiana Jones adventure and you had to go in like the hamster wheel was spinning around, then you'd run through one of those drawbridges. And like, I hope to God they have something like that, but Super Mario themed. You know what I mean? You got to jump over the wheel of flames that just spins around. It'd be so dope. It'd be so dope.
All right.
My kids are going to live it up. They're not going to appreciate this shit as much as they should.
Well, somewhere in the future, in the 2020s, I will visit Super Mario World. So that's going to happen. But, all right, let's move on to, I guess, our last entertainment topic. And I put this out there. It's from Business Insider. And they're just saying that the Google Stadia's early adopters are losing patience with Google.
Yeah, I haven't picked up my controller in weeks.
I was going to ask you, have you even attempted to see if it's the latency issues and stuff have gone away?
Partly it's because I won't fuck with it on the Wi-Fi anymore because it's horrid through Wi-Fi. And after they sent out that email being, well, if you're going to have Wi-Fi, have it 1 foot away from your fucking router with that goddamn nonsense. You haven't tried since to see if they
put some kind of patch that made it
better? No, because I have to take down my 65-inch. I have to run. I bought an internet switch so I could split my Ethernet cord upstairs. But I still have to take down my TV, run a new Ethernet cord, run a new HDMI.
That's a lot of work.
I haven't gotten all that yet.
No, I was wondering if you even tried it on Wi-Fi just to see if
maybe. No, I have tried it on Wi-Fi because a few friends have come over and I've tried to explain to them and show them the problems. And yeah, just like when you're streaming a YouTube video or something, it goes blurry. You know, it's got a buffer out and it's choppy at times. The amount of free games they said you were going to get when you bought it was a goddamn lie. I think I can only play 3 games, so the monthly is just basically, so instead of buying a $500 console, they're basically hooking you at $9.99 per, in perpetuity for as long as you want to play Stadia. And then on top of that $9.99, you got to buy games.
Yeah.
So it's not like Game Pass where you pay, your $10 and you get a whole hundreds of games to play and all this. Like, no, you pay $9.99 for the ability to use their servers as your console. And then after that, give us your monies.
This was supposed to be a revolutionary thing that we wanted to actually be a part of. I already returned mine, and call it quits on Stadia. And I don't know if they survive year one. They had such a terrible release, and you got to spend $130 to buy the Premier Edition to have the minimum stuff to even get started, and that only gets you 3 months of limited play. That's not even that good in the first place. And then you got to commit more money. You got to at that point you have to decide whether you want to keep spending money on them. Who's saying yes?
Who's buying a $60 game for Google? And that's another thing that I brought up with Cory Doctorow when he was on the show is . Why am I paying $60 for this fucking game? I get no disc. I can't play it. So if I don't pay my $9.99 to you 1 month, I get locked out of every $60 game that I've ever bought. So why am I paying full price for your software when that at any point, if I miss a payment, if I forget to pay my $9.99, Or I just don't have it, or my debit card expired and I haven't switched over my card. The minute that monthly subscription ends, every $60 game I just bought is now locked behind another fucking paywall for me to have to play it again. Whereas Xbox, you buy the game, you have the console, even if you don't have Xbox Live, unless it's a multimedia game, you could still play it. You could still sit at home and you could just play the game that you already spent your money on.
Yeah, it's
a horrible business model, I think.
Yeah,
it's a horrible business model.
It really is. They still stand by the fact that they're eventually going to have a free model. They're eventually going to have the ability to play Stadia for free. It doesn't exist at this point. If you're interested in trying out Stadia and you happen to want you plan on switching to Verizon at some point, Verizon is giving away free Stadia Premier editions. You can at least get a free Chromecast Ultra HD and get Stadia to try, but in the end, the Stadia, I don't know who at this point in time is buying Stadias.
After all the releases, after all the reviews, I don't know who's trying to jump on this dumpster fire midway through.
Yeah, it's bad. So like I said, I don't think they survive year one. We'll see. it's still maybe a revolutionary way of looking at video games. And I think
PlayStation are really rolling back their cloud gaming efforts now. I think they're really happy that they still produced a Series X and a PlayStation 5.
Oh, you know, they have to be just ecstatic. They're sitting right now in a boardroom.
They got real scared there for a minute.
Like, they're all playing Stadia right now in a boardroom, just laughing at the lagging issues and just super excited that they can continue selling discs and consoles, and they don't need to immediately jump into this cloud gaming model in order to compete.
I still think their plans for having cloud gaming are still going to be there, but it's not going to be the thing they rely on. Just like how if you buy a Series X, it can play cloud gaming, but the Series X is like your at-home server, so it doesn't lag and this and that. Like, I think they're still going to give you the option to play anywhere. So Google's already, or Xbox is already kind of on that way. You can play on your laptop, you can play on your PC, most games that you have for Xbox. So I do see them pivoting to a play on anything model, but it's not going to be their flagship, right? It's going to be like, look, if you want the best quality gaming, play on your console at home. But if you just can't get away from your Minecraft, here, play on your phone, play on this, play on that, play on that. Just know that it's not going to be as good as when you're on a console.
Yeah.
And it, you know, Google's whole thing was it's seamless. It's just like playing on Xbox. Not so much, buddy. Not so much.
Well, all right. I think let's come out of our entertainment time and jump back into tech as we've got a couple topics from this week's news. First one is one that I found really kind of a fascinating story. We do love to talk about these hacks and the exploitation of tech, and this first one being Jeff Bezos getting hacked.
Not just getting hacked, but getting hacked by the Saudi crown prince. So it's not like he and like, let me make this clear. It's not like the Saudi crown prince said, hey, you in my tech division, hack Jeff Bezos's phone. Like, this is the actual crown prince typing on keys, doing things himself. Like,
so, I mean,
he just watched Mr. Robot. He finally killed the series. He got all gung-ho on some shit. And yeah, he's like, I got Bezos's phone number. Let's see if I can't hack his phone.
So, it's actually a really kind of crazy story that I'd like to recap here, because, you know, Jeff Bezos obviously is the CEO of Amazon, filthy rich, also the owner of the Washington Post newspaper. So,
Khashoggi.
So it does tie in. So it's really interesting in the sense that, so in 2016, Khashoggi starts becoming an issue for MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince. In 2016, he actually is Khashoggi journalist. He was in like Washington think tanks for Washington Post and things like that. Washington Post publishes Khashoggi's first column in September of 2017, and then in late 2017, November 2017, is when Bezos and MBS started talking, because Saudi Arabia was purchasing some Amazon tech. They purchase it, they become a relationship, they share each other's phone numbers, and they start talking to each other through WhatsApp. And then it ended up being Khashoggi keeps publishing different articles and everything else, and eventually, in April of 2018. So this isn't like recent. This happened in April of 2018. Khashoggi shared a video through WhatsApp, an MP4. I'm just going to assume it's some kind of cat video. Why not? And he opens up the video, and then immediately 29,000 times a normal data rate coming out of a cell phone started being transmitted out of his phone, but not noticed for quite some time. It was over 6 gigabytes of data over a period of months that were transmitted out of Bezos's phone. You can infer yourself whether the Khashoggi and the later, you know, we now know that the Saudi Arabia
didn't Bezos have like a dick pic leaked?
So yes, so all of that, right? this goes into it later because yes, at the same time, at the same time that this hack is happening, the divorce starts to happen between Bezos because of leaked text messages to his mistress, were identified by his wife, and within while like they were still in talks about getting a divorce before anything was public, while there was just like some mediated talks taking place between Bezos and his wife, MBS sends a meme of the picture of his mistress to Bezos in WhatsApp, is still talking to Bezos and is sending him memes of his mistress, like throwing it in his face that he's got dude's shit. And
like, we could all put our tinfoil hats on right now and just say that the Saudi crown prince didn't like Bezos and orchestrated his divorce so he'd lose. Like, man, it was the most high profile and costly divorces since Paul McCartney. Like, yeah. Like, dude lost hundreds of billions of dollars during that divorce. Like, talk about punching someone in the dick, right? Like, yeah. This is either the most petty thing I've ever seen on the entire globe or just crazy coincidence.
Yeah, so it's, and yeah, and then in the end, in 2018, you know, Khashoggi is killed by Saudi government officials, and again, he was a Washington Post columnist, hacked by Bezos. Bezos's hacked information goes out, which causes him to lose a significant amount of wealth. He was kind of almost taunted by MBS via WhatsApp, and yeah, it's just a really crazy story.
And you don't know like how this all plays out because our president isn't a fan of Trump either, and we have a buddy-buddy relationship with Saudi Arabia that is very murky, to say the least. You know, like, who knows where this goes and how this is? It's just, it's too fucked up to just be like, oh, well, it happened. Like, no, there's some seedy, backdoor, petty bullshit going on between world leaders and the richest man on the planet. Like, this is insane.
I will say that there is, doing like research on this individual topic because I just wanted to know how the hack happened and stuff like that. Apparently, I don't have WhatsApp. You know, millions and millions of people do, especially worldwide. It's a big messaging service. It's apparently full of terrible exploits that people have used over time. Like, there was apparently an exploit.
It used to be one of the most encrypted ones, but it fell off as of late. Like,
yeah. So
allegedly, people that illicit illegal substances stopped using it a while ago because it wasn't as secure as some of these other encrypted text messaging services.
Yeah. So the end-to-end encryption, as far as like privacy, is still there. But as far as its ability to transmit malware, it's got full of exploits for malware to be sent, like through an MP4.
And who owns WhatsApp? Is that Facebook?
Yeah, that's Facebook.
Yeah, no. Facebook. Facebook owns WhatsApp.
Of course, Facebook owns it.
I knew it was one of the three. You know, I couldn't remember if it was Twitter or Facebook.
But yeah, there's exploits in WhatsApp that's been patched now. But it was to where like somebody could just call your number through WhatsApp. You didn't even have to answer, and that phone call would put malware into your phone. There's all kinds of different links, different MP4s, and WhatsApp in no way is protecting you against malware being transmitted. And it doesn't even, the way WhatsApp is designed, it doesn't even necessarily require your interaction to accept it or receive it. So there's a lot of phishing campaigns and things that actually have used exploits in WhatsApp because unlike email phishing where you got to get somebody to actually click, you got to get somebody to actually download, it wasn't even like that case in WhatsApp, that the app itself would automatically kind of download these things and load them into your phone as a received message or a received phone call. So a lot of that, some of those exploits have been filled, but still kind of a dangerous situation there, potentially, especially for somebody like Jeff Bezos, who you have very sticky things for people to want to steal.
I mean, you're the richest man on the planet. How do you not have like a team of your own tech nerds just to secure your own personal shit? You know what I mean? Like,
or like all your personal messaging on one device, a burner phone for your mistress.
How do you not have a burner? How do you not have a burner?
And a Palm Pilot for all business, but you don't ever mix those three things. You don't mix your secret personal with your real personal and your professional. None of those should all be three different devices if you're that kind of guy.
It's your LinkedIn, your Facebook, and your Tinder. You got to have a phone for each.
We'll have to make one of those for Bezos now.
John, get on it, John.
All right. Well, this is a crazy story. I find it incredibly interesting. If you want to look more into the Khashoggi and MBS and all that stuff and really get conspiracy theory on this, you can.
Yeah, put your tinfoil hats on. Drop us a line. Let us know how you think this went down. So I got all kinds of ideas.
But as far as on the tech front, just be wary of some of these messaging apps. And, everything in the hacking world oftentimes relies on trust. If you trust the sender, do you really need to care what WhatsApp's security is? I guess if you're going to deal with things like MBS or whatever else, or you're adding people into your messaging services that you don't necessarily know and you don't trust them, don't trust the services to protect you from their bad intentions.
Yeah, speaking of hacks, just to put it out there, there's a new one going around that I received, and I seen an article shared about it. So it's going around pretty widely. You get a FedEx notification that your tracking number is live for whatever package you got coming. And then you click it, and it sends you to a fake FedEx site and asks you to take this survey. And once you take the survey, you're fucked. You're fucked.
I don't click anything. I have zero.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how much real shit I miss on just because I get emails and text messages that I'm just like, nope, not today, Satan.
No, I didn't win that raffle, Girl Scouts. Go away.
Yeah. How many fucking real $50 gift cards am I missing out on?
All right. Let's move on to another like major thing this week, and that's surrounding coronavirus. And I want to talk about coronavirus, kind of a scary pandemic that might be taking place here, and it intertwines with tech in some interesting ways. So I want to talk about it first. When I first heard about the coronavirus, I really thought, man, Netflix is really stepping up their advertising game because they just launched that pandemic show.
Pandemic,
like,
man.
They and just then within 24 hours, you start hearing about a real fucking... And I was like, shit, Netflix. Like, I know you got $17 billion worth of content coming out, but man, you're going to start some diseases over this shit?
I don't see them wanting to kill off subscribers, so I don't think they
well, that's why they started in China. They don't. That's not their target market.
China's everybody's target market.
But yeah, so the coronavirus, obviously, I think as of last night, I want to say they were up to 80 deaths. As of last night, 2,700 people that are infected.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's in Chicago. There's an actual diagnosed case 20 miles from my fucking house. Makes me feel really great.
Same in Los Angeles.
And my daughter just got
cases.
The flu.
As well. So it's potentially scary. Right now, as of like last night, there's like 2,700 total cases. Only 29 cases exist out of China, and 26 of those 29 traveled through Wuhan. So there isn't like a massive outbreak of people who've never been to China that are now getting it. Like, I think that's the telling sign of like when this is snowballing out of control is when people who've never stepped foot in China at some significant rate start transmitting this all over the place. Not there yet. Maybe next week we'll have a different story, but...
Well, what's really scary is like our first point of the topic is the misinformation campaign that China uses to suppress the seriousness of this. So they're saying that the death toll is like what you said, 70. They think it's even higher than that, but China was classifying it as pneumonia deaths. Is in order to not alert the world and not look bad on the world stage, that they were classifying this virus as pneumonia deaths until they couldn't keep it under wraps anymore.
Right, and they were detaining journalists who were writing about it and blocking anybody's messages or posts or anything else that people were putting out that were talking about it. So China was keeping it absolutely quiet as long as they could through their authoritarian system,
which is so fucked up because it's not even about your own country. It's like China, all right, do whatever you want in your own country, but when shit like this can affect the entire planet, you know, we know the worst case scenarios of these super viruses and shit like that. When you're putting other nations at risk, like And to touch a little bit back on the story we just talked about, at what point do we consider these things acts of aggression on our nation? You know, so head of Saudi crown prince hacks our richest man in our country and one of the biggest companies that provide jobs in our country and whatnot. How is that not of an act of aggression and a national security issue for our country? Same thing with China. Blocking all the information about a virus that could potentially wipe out hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in all sorts of nations. How is that not an act of aggression against our nation?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an act of aggression against everybody. Or I don't know. It's not really aggression. It's just
how do you classify that?
You can't. It's so weird to think that, like, here we're talking about it between like January 6th to January 19th, when this stuff was like ground zero in Wuhan district, it didn't make their news or newspaper a single time, not a single incident of it, that because they weren't allowed to, right? They weren't allowed to report it. They weren't.
So don't tell people to stay home if you don't have to go. Like, don't tell people Wuhan, like, wear face masks, wash your hands. Like, no, just fuck it. Like, it'll go away.
And not to mention,
it's still good.
There were foreign travelers coming through Wuhan district, and that's how it then spreads everywhere else. But you weren't, it is.
Yeah, no travel ban. No, nothing. Like, and that's what I mean. Yeah, like, at what point does their irresponsibility and their secrecy become detrimental to this health and safety on a global scale? And what reaction should other nations have against that? You know, like, you just put the world citizens at a giant health risk, you know, because you don't want to look bad, or because you're so keen on having order in your own country that you say fuck everybody else. That, you know, how is a nation, you know, not just the United States, but every other fucking nation on the planet, how do we handle a bad player on the world stage?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess part of the ways to get ahead of these things is just to detect it better. And that's where, like, the next story comes from, is that AI being a part of epidemiology. And this is, you know, the good parts of AI is it does a far better job of aggregating data and analyzing data than a human being ever could. And what we saw is that the early warning for this really came from World Health Organization epidemiologists that study these things, and they saw a out of normal trends, pneumonias taking place there. And that triggered their understanding and investigation into what is actually happening. That's how
that's with identified. Them. And that's with them blocking the right information.
So AI could just look at data. They don't need the government to come out and say anything. If they're actually just pulling, basic health data, basic health trends that are taking place, we didn't necessarily talk about it before, we didn't even have a podcast back when, like, the Zika virus was a huge thing. But, like, ground zero for where the Zika virus was coming from was identified by a company, Blue Dot, which used AI to aerate all the data and figure out where the location was. Like, there's some absolute great medical advances in the realm of AI and its use in these applications.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I mean, some may think that because of identifying some of the problems that are going to arise with AI, that we may look at AI as a negative. Like, no, it's going to be a net positive. You know, AI is going to save lives. AI is going to make lives easier, and the human race will greatly benefit from AI. But we shouldn't ignore the fallout, I guess you'd call it, from this ramping up of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, so we'll see where this story for coronavirus goes, and you've got a case, in your backyard. I got a case, 2 hours away. So some of these few cases that are outside of China are are in our realms of spread, I guess. So hopefully it gets under control. There's no shortage of efforts put in. There's a bunch of like robot doctors. They've shown like pictures of the treatment that the people who have it now in the quarantine.
They built a 1,000-bed hospital in like 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, China's nuts.
That shit was insane.
Yeah, don't ever sleep on what China can actually accomplish through through their authoritarian regimes there. And but I'm talking about even like everywhere, like there's these robot doctor stations that essentially like people are in quarantine. Nurses, nobody even needs to interact with these people. Yeah, you can do everything through
iPads on Segway robots.
Right? And just hooked up to monitoring devices and an iPad. That's your doctor.
Bottom line, folks, wash your fucking hands.
Yeah,
wash your fucking hands.
Oh, it's sad. It's sad that that's the only defense we really have.
You cough in my direction and you don't cover your mouth, I'm punching you in the throat. That's all I know.
All right. Well, let's go with our next topic that's also going to get us socially triggered. We talked about it last week a little bit in U.S. police force looking at using facial recognition. And then, hey, we're not alone in that. London, so the Scotland Yard forces over in London are beginning to use facial recognition cameras for the actual detection of criminals. So if you're on a watch list and they've got a bolo out for you or whatever it happens to be, they are scanning everybody's face as they walk through in order to determine if you're a criminal or not.
Yeah, I just see the British handling this a little differently than our triggered asses do. They don't voice their gripes the same way that we do, but it's, man, this it's scary, you know, because V for Vendetta is coming. Like, it's coming, man. So it's all coming.
This facial recognition stuff, and I kind of want to go back and read it. You talked about Cory Doctorow earlier. I'll talk about him now. And, you know, his book series, Little Brother, and then the sequel's out, and his third book in that I think comes out later this year. And it's all about like facial recognition. And when I started doing some research into from last week, and then it pops up again this week, I started doing research into like really where is facial recognition being used, and what is the kind of the purposes, and what are the privacy concerns there. And some of the privacy concerns are obviously we would all find it a violation of privacy if everywhere we walk, there was a police officer on the corner of every street asking to verify our ID to make sure we're not criminals, right? We would absolutely 100% say that is an invasion of privacy. Go fuck yourself. I'm not showing you my ID. Well, that's what these facial recognition cameras are going to do. Everywhere you go, you are being verified as criminal or not. And all it takes is one hit that, you know, you contorted your face in just the right way that it gave you a false positive to somebody else. And in
God
London,
forbid you're wearing the same Target shirt and hat that some other asshole's wearing, you know, like.
Well, and in London, what's happening is if somebody triggers that system as they're walking through these areas, and they trigger that system as somebody who's got a warrant out for the arrest or happens to be somebody they're looking for, it'll send a text message directly to a cop that is in that vicinity, tell you where you're at, it'll track you, and then the cop can go locate you. So again, just think about how disruptive that can be if there's just false positives being thrown all over the place. And if you look at accuracy rates for facial recognition software, not saying that robots are racist, but they falsely identify black people way more than anybody else.
Yep.
And yep. It's a fact that's built into the system. They have not been able to increase the accuracy to the same level.
It's all about
as
light
European
reflection.
Type.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about light reflection and stuff, and the darker skin tones just don't reflect the same way that everything else is. So, you know, yeah, so robots think all black people look alike.
Yeah. And when it comes down to part of that privacy is like, do you feel that you need to? Yes. Could we all say categorically, do we want the rapist to be found by the most expeditious means possible? Yes. Do I also want to have to verify and justify that I am not a rapist if I just happen to resemble one and have false positives? Do I need to prove my innocence in that regard? And that's really
I've always had an unpopular opinion towards this. So if you want true freedom, you have to accept that a certain amount of bad people are going to get away with doing bad things.
Right.
You have to accept that. If you want true freedom, and you want to live in a free society, which we have all strived for, you have to come to terms with the fact that certain amount of bad people are going to do bad things, and they're not going to get caught.
Yeah,
I would rather see 100 criminals get away with it than have one innocent man imprisoned. And that's a stance that we have to accept if we want to live in a free society. And I don't think a lot of people can come to terms with that. There's a lot of people that just can't get over that, you know, sometimes bad people do get away with it. And if you want to have privacy in your home, if you want to be able to walk the streets and not be treated as a criminal, then you just have to accept that some criminals are just going to get away with it.
Yeah. So, and it's not even necessarily criminal or government actions. When I started looking into who's really using and buying the facial recognition software.
It's all about stores.
So stores are doing it to identify shoplifting, to put people on their own little watch lists internally. College campuses is a big target for facial recognition software. You know, you could say that would be great for weapon identification and you know, active shooter type stuff, but they have instances where there's college campuses that are putting facial recognition in dorms to identify when a non-resident is there in the hallway. It's like, yeah, that could be safety. They could also be somebody just creeping on somebody you were sneaking into your room that night.
Like fucking AI cock block. Right? Fucking AI cock block.
When the RA on your dorm floor gets a text message notification because there's an unidentified female walking down the hallway.
On the floor. You fucking dicks. it's a touchy subject, man. You have to be okay with a certain level of not having, you know, because to me it's all about control, about being able to control the things, the laws and the rules we have set in place, and keeping that kind of like order. But you can't have that level of order without infringing on the things that you're trying to protect.
Yeah, and like I said, and that's, you know, rights exist in, you know, when we're talking about through the government and government privacy. But I think really one of the things that needs to be discussed and addressed is in the public sector or in these private companies and what they're able to do. You know, should a college campus be able to check a student's attendance, be able to verify their identity, be able to surveil them to some degree? You know, this is what... Again, that book, Little Brother. If I urge people to pick it up, especially if you like kind of dystopian type science fiction. Cory Doctor does a great job. But the whole book is based around, like, you know, kids walk down the hallway and you're tracked at all times. You're surveilled at all times. They know whether you're in class or not based off of facial recognition. Teachers don't need to take attendance because there's cameras in every single classroom and it's telling you where you are. College campuses actually, there are college campuses that are doing that right now, that are actually using facial recognition to determine attendance, to determine who are actual students on campus, who are the visitors on campus right now. And just because I walk on a college campus, does that mean I am voluntarily succumbing to, to being scanned and being identified by
your existence?
Face?
Your existence is in recognition of these terms of services.
Yeah, like, you have a face, therefore you have... opened yourself up for facial recognition. That's all it takes. Like
and they're already rolling out like facial recognition. I talked to a store owner and he was like, yeah, we're going to put facial recognition in the store that tracks eye movement to see how long you're looking at a product, to see what, like, a lot of people are using it for marketing purposes. And then all that data is going to get aggregated and sold and bought by whoever. So once again, our existence is being monetized and profited off of, yet we get nothing back. UBI. Like, there's all kinds of situations that are going to arise from this. And as a society, did we fucking sign up for this? Like, or is it just something that is being implemented and pushed on us without ever asking our opinions on whether we this is how we want to live?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's conversations that should happen, though. I think more people should talk about it. You know, there at least at a minimum needs to be greater transparency in it. Like, if I walk into an area that's using cameras as facial recognition, there should be some kind of disclaimer. There should be, I should not unwillingly be a voluntary participant in some face scanning, face recognition, you know, personal identification type systems, that shouldn't be part of it.
I'm waiting for some guy to invent the like aerosol spray that you spray on your face that scrambles facial recognition like they did with the license plates for the license plate cameras and shit. Like, you know, face be gone. Just take this one spray. You can walk into the store and know that you're not being tracked. It's, man, the future is going to be fucking crazy. Yeah. By the time I'm an old gray man that can barely walk and shit, I'm just going to be telling my grandkids, like, y'all don't even fucking know, man. Y'all don't even know what you were born into.
There's going to be a whole future market for, like, just selling prosthetic noses and birthmarks and stuff that you could just move every day to a different location in order to fool the systems.
Someone's going to need to put my old ass on an iceberg and just ship me off to sea because I'm going to be screaming from the mountains about this shit.
But, yeah, so I think that's the last of our major kind of tech things. The last one is just a fun one to go on.
Yeah, we always try to end it on something fun.
We had a great little conversation about it in the Cantina group, and that is the Space Force new logo coming out. And
yeah, it looked quite familiar.
It's hard to not see the resemblance. Like when you look at it between Star Trek, Space Command.
When they're right next to each other, you're just like, huh?
Really? Really? Okay. Huh. Like this looks like the Space Command thing, but instead of like the inverted U, it's just a mouse pointer that's in the middle.
It's the most perfect logo we've ever designed. I'm very proud of this logo. It's the greatest logo.
But yeah, so the internet completely just side by side compare us. The
George Takei is asking for royalties.
Oh, that was great. George Takei is phenomenal. He's a great Twitter follow for sure. But yeah, he criticizes it is just I actually like the logo. I don't know.
I know is if I join the Space Force and they put that logo on a red shirt, I ain't fucking wearing it. Not me, motherfucker. Not me. You give me that yellow one. You give me the blue one. You take that red one, shove it up your ass.
Yeah, I think the logo's good. I don't know. I'm not mad at the logo.
Yeah, I'm mad at it. It's like, just, it go is, ahead, it's run funny. With it. But let's accept what is pretty apparent to our face.
Yeah, you definitely stole some likeness there of Star Trek. But I guess if you're going to steal somebody's likeness, you got to go Star Trek.
You got to go Star Trek. Yeah. You got to go Star Trek. You know, it's basically what the show is, we are incepting the real life form of the show right now as we speak. like maybe Star Trek was a vision of the future from who's the showrunner of Star Trek? He was a famous name. I can't remember. God damn it.
I don't remember.
I hate when this happens. Yeah, maybe he was a prophet.
Or the person that they asked to design the logo was just some maybe oblivious person who just had no idea what to do. He had a deadline to hit, and he just did a quick Google search on space logos. And he's like, oh, that one looks all right. I can make a quick change to that. Nobody will notice.
Yeah. Just for trademark purposes, we're gonna do away with the Starfleet ship, and we're going to put in the asteroids ship.
Yeah.
We're going to change the color background a little bit. Just enough to not have to adhere to trademark law.
We're going to change the constellations of stars that are in the background, but we're going to keep stars in the background, of course.
I'm waiting for Neil deGrasse Tyson to come out and say those are bullshit.
But yeah, it's great. Everything around the Space Force has been gold so far.
Oh, it's, yeah, gold, Jerry. Gold.
But that's it. That's it for this week. So that's the end of episode 61 of the Nerd Cantina Show. Thanks again for listening, and I will continue to always plug getting into the Facebook group over at thenerdcantina.com/community, which will route you there, or just search for the Nerd Cantina in Facebook. It's a great time, and
we've had some recent guests come on and say how much fun it is. It's not just us tooting our own horn. There's a lot of people in there that really enjoy it. You guys should join up. Even if you're just a fly on the wall, you never post anything, there's a lot of fun conversation that goes on in there.
There's some hateful places on the internet We haven't found it in our group yet. It hasn't pervaded, been leaked into the Nerd Cantina group, and we're going to closely moderate it so it doesn't. So it's just a good time for fellow nerds to share articles, memes, or whatever happens to interest you.
And like we said, we have some we're working diligently on our email list. We have a few interviews kind of working their way together that we're going to schedule up. C2E2 is on its way. I got my press pass ready. We're going to have some really good content over the next few weeks and months coming up. So make sure you stay tuned. Again, join the community. Can't say enough that you can go to Patreon and give us a buck. We're going to try to get some more exclusive content on there. And, for those listening, thanks again. Always, we appreciate the support and everything you guys do, to keep the cantina going and give us the motivation to get up early on Monday mornings and do these shows while I have extreme bedhead.
All right. Well, thanks again, nerds, and talk to you next week.